Friends, this morning from John chapter 4, we are presented with a new portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another view, another angle of his person, his work, his words. And here in chapter 4, we see the Lord Jesus Christ being the both the sower of the seed and the reaper of the harvest. He's the one who speaks his word. And then he is the one who saves as well. And he says to the disciples too, that you are the ones who reap, but or you are the ones who sow, but the Lord is the one who brings the harvest. From Nathanael, in the beginning of his ministry, to the thief on the cross, in the end, when he was on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was bringing sinners unto himself. That is the part of his main mission, was to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ cared for sinners, and they would come to him. They heard him gladly. He cared for the fallen, those who were fallen into sin and rejected by the society. He was willing to reach out to all who crossed his path. Not everyone liked what he said. Not everything that he said was a pleasant thing to hear. He confronted people. He said things that were quite offensive to some. But he was willing, at whatever the cost, to reach out to individuals whom he desired. And this account is no exception. And so we join ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ today, and he speaks with a poor, lost, sinful woman. And as we do, look at your own life. Let us look at our own lives. What kind of a person are we? What kind of a person were we used to be? Examine your own heart. Examine your lifestyle. Examine your thoughts. Examine the things that no one else knows but the Lord and yourself. 3,000 years ago, or thereabouts, David the king cried out in Psalm 142 and verse 4. He says this, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." Maybe that's how you feel. Maybe that was the case of this woman. It was certainly a case for our Lord Jesus Christ, that his disciples left him, his friends left him. He was betrayed in the house of his friends. But maybe that is something that you might say this morning. No man cared for my soul. In fact, it may be true that no one on this earth truly cares about us and or what happens to our soul except the Lord, except God. That God-man, Jesus Christ, our Lord, cared for sinners and still today cares for us. In fact, he cared so much that he willingly left heaven and he proved his love by dying for our sins on that cross. And so the words of the scripture is so true, that God commendeth his love towards us. That is, he demonstrates, he shows it to all that he truly loves. He commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We repeat that verse again and again, and it will never get old. It is a rejoicing of our hearts that God has shown me that kind of a love. That while I was a sinner, Jesus Christ died for me. And as this message unfolds today for you, may the Lord speak to you, to your heart, to encourage you, to also cast you down in humility before the Lord, and bring you by faith to the Lord Jesus. As we go through these verses, Christians, learn from the Savior. learned from how he witnessed, how he loved, learned from his example as well. He calls us to also sit at the wells where people gather, where people come to speak to people who are the outcasts of society, who nobody else would receive, no one else would talk to. Remember this, friends. The example of the Lord Jesus Christ is far better than any program, any course that you can take on evangelism. Here our Lord Jesus Christ meets this woman at the well, and he demonstrates himself to be the Savior, the great soul winner. The first thing that I want us to consider is from verses 1 through to 8, and that is that God confronts. That is something that God does. The Lord is not one who is, as many people think, he's somewhere far away. He's sitting on some sort of a cloud, some old man who is sitting on a cloud. That is a false conception of who God is. God is the one who enters into this world, and he's created this world, and enters into our world, and he confronts us. Look at verses 3-6. It says that he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and here in these opening verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is shown in his compassion and in his humanity. While Jesus Christ is God, he was still a man, and he was acquainted with the trials and the problems of life. He demonstrates that he does indeed care for the lost. And so we see him walking. I think that is interesting, that we find our Lord Jesus Christ walking oftentimes. This is the evidence of his poverty. He could have afforded anything in this world. He could have afforded in his day the greatest of chariots and horses. But we find the Savior walking, creator of the world, walking amongst men. He chose to live as a common man. And so that is a great encouragement to begin with. The Lord Jesus Christ knows what we face in life. He has walked. How much do you walk? It's not an easy thing to walk all the time. It is easy for us. We live in a time of luxury that we easily, without much thought, we get into our cars or we have access to vehicles. But this is what we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he walked. So you may be at the moment going through great hardships and you think to yourself, I'm just walking. My life is so slow. This thing that I'm going through is so slow. It's such as at a slow pace. I wish this thing would pass. And yet Christ walked, and he walks with us. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ has such compassion on the lost. We also see him as one who desires, who wills. Look at verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. What does that mean? It means that he has to go. It was necessary for him to go. It was in his mind to go to Samaria. It was a specific thing he did. He meant to go to Samaria. He must needs go to Samaria. You see, most Jews went dozens of miles out of their way to avoid things like that. Avoid going through the land of the pagans, the land of the sinners, the land of the Samaritans. So great was their prejudice and their hatred of the people who were a mixed race of Jews and Gentiles. Yet Jesus Christ was unaffected by the prejudice of the Jews. There was a woman, you see, that he must needs to see. There was a well that he must wait at. He was unaffected by what other people thought. There was a woman who was going to be called to salvation, and that was the day. He must needs go there and see her. That was part of the determinate counsel of God. Friends, you learn something here. What if it is Christ's will today to come amongst us and sit with us? Well, he has already said in the Bible that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there is he in our midst. And so you may, at the moment, you might think, well, what am I doing here? I want to know Jesus Christ. Well, this is the place to be amongst the Lord's gathered people, where the word of God is preached, where the gospel is preached. You ought to be. Because there Christ has said he will be. And it tells us that there is no person, there is no people group beyond the reach of God's grace. All of us are sinners and are in need of salvation. Oh, what things he went through to save us. You think to yourself of individuals and even yourself, and you think to yourself, I have heard these things many times, but it seems that I've become hardened to it. So I've become used to these things. And you think to yourself, how I will never be saved. I will never be converted. How do you know? How do you know? It might be the Lord's timing now. It might be that he comes to the well that you have gone to. Maybe you've gone to the place like this woman has. We don't know one another's backgrounds. We are at times shocked, surprised of certain things we find about each other. But the Lord has known it all. Have you ever come to see the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, that he has this love for this woman to save her? If the Lord Jesus Christ would reach out to the most hated people of his day, then it is also for his people, his children, the Christians, to also be the same. To remove all the walls of prejudice and reach out to people, regardless of where they are and where they come from. Notice that the Lord Jesus was willing to go out of his way to reach this poor, lost woman. And that teaches us more that regardless of where we go, God can reach out. The Lord can touch our lives and the lives of others. Just think of Jonah. Jonah, are you a Jonah running away from the things of God? Are you a Jonah who feels that you're being forced into a certain situation? David states in his great psalm, in Psalm 139, these words: whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? He says, we cannot run away from the Lord. That might produce two things in you. For some of you, you might be very fearful this morning. I can't run away. I've been running away from this person and that person, and I've been running away from myself. I want to ignore things in my life. And then you hear, but God is everywhere. I can't run away from the Lord. And that might be fearful for you. But at the same time, it may be very comforting for you that the Lord is everywhere. The Lord knows me. Wherever I am, whatever situation I'm in, the Lord is there. I can call upon the name of the Lord. He can save me from this situation. He can save me from myself. Don't run away from the Lord, friends. So here is the Lord Jesus willing. And then we see him wearied. We see the Savior in this portrait being wearied. And that, again, portrays his humanity. As God, Jesus never tired. Yet as a man, he was prone to the same physical weaknesses as we are. And so this is what the scripture says to us. Now, verse 6. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And the point that I want you to see is that it is no coincidence that the Lord Jesus Christ was wearied just here. He was there, you see, on a mission. And that mission is clearly stated, as I've quoted you from Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And what we find here is the Lord Jesus Christ waits for this man, woman. He's waiting. It says, "It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." He waits. He waits for her. He gets there and he waits for this woman. Again, all of these things are so helpful to think about. You see, this Savior has a wonderful gift to give to this woman. The gift of salvation. She never had thought, she never gave any thought to meeting a Jewish rabbi at that well. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ knew she was coming and he was patiently waiting to rescue this one lost sheep. All along the way of life, the Lord Jesus Christ positions himself directly in our paths. My friends, maybe it is right now. He is standing in your path and you are at a crossroad and you ask yourself, why is God not letting me go from this situation? Why doesn't the Lord change certain things? I've been praying and praying and praying. God is in your way. And praise God for that. Imagine if he wasn't in your way. Imagine if God let you carry on with your life. Imagine if the Lord Jesus Christ never sat at that well and confronted this woman. Imagine he never waited. He just sat there for a minute and then left. No, he was waiting for her. You could go through your life, cruising through your life without much thought for God or his plan and his salvation. Then all of a sudden, you have something happening and you say to yourself, this is the hand of God. This is something, and I know it is the Lord, and he convicts you about this. Well, that's the point for you to stop and talk with him. Stop and call upon him. Stop and listen to what he says in his word. So it is Jesus Christ who makes these crossroads to bring us to himself. Thank God for that. And then you see this woman in verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. She was from Samaria and she was a sinner. So this is the second person in this great account. A woman who is a sinful woman, who is lost spiritually. Verse 6 tells us that it was about the sixth hour, and according to the Jewish clock, this would be about 12 noon. Jacob's well was about half a mile from the village. And for a woman to be there drawing water at this hour would be an unusual thing. It wouldn't normally happen. Normally, you see, the woman from the village would gather early together in the morning, and while the day was still cool, and these women would go together to draw water together, to help one another in bringing back water. You see, it wasn't like today that we can just open the tap and have running water in our homes. No. They would have spent time talking. They were friends. They would have spent these things. This was their normal routine of the day. But this woman comes at noon. That tells you something. Because this woman is alone. That tells you something. It's coming to draw water at the hottest time of the day. That's an indication that she was friendless. She didn't have even one person to come with her. If you go to some place, you might say to someone, would you come along with me? But this woman had no friends. Nobody with her. She was maybe most likely a social outcast. It seems that the other women of the village would have nothing to do with her. So she probably came to the well alone to avoid the insults and the attacks of the other woman. John, if you don't mind closing that curtain, please, that would be great. Thank you. The reason for this woman being an outcast is evident from verses 16 through to 18. She was hated. She was hated even by her own people. It says this, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. You see, this woman is no different from any other sinner who has ever walked upon the face of the earth. She, like all sinners, had problems far removed from just being a social outsider. She had things that she had done in the past that people knew about. And she didn't expect the Lord Jesus Christ to know about this. You see, the problem of all of us is that, yes, we do sin because we are sinners. And she was living in sin because she was a sinner. She was lost. The scripture says this about being alone. Psalm 58 and verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. There's loneliness. In this world, we talk about loneliness. But the worst kind of a loneliness is because of sin. You see, when sin entered into the world, all kinds of relationships were broken down, especially the relationship with God was broken down. You ask yourself, if you are not in a good relationship with someone, it is down to sin ultimately, either yours or theirs. And that is a sad, sad thing. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Sin stands between us and God. If you get that right, if that partition is removed, if that separation is removed, then it is that you have hope with other relationships. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, we read, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. It was bad to be a social outcast, but she's a spiritual outcast as well, which is worse. And we are also naturally lost and undone without the Lord. And we need to be saved by his grace. Don't be an outcast. You might say, well, in society, I don't fit in. I am as the saying is, I'm a square peg. And I can't fit into the round holes. The most important thing is not to be an outcast with God. And sin needs to be dealt with. How does sin, can sin be washed away? The scripture says through the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed at Calvary for us. This is what this woman needed. To hear about Jesus Christ, the Savior. The scripture says this, that there is only one God and one Savior. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So think about these things, friends. Notice too that it is only the Lord Jesus and this woman. All the directions or the distractions of her life have been removed. There is nothing to distract now. It's just her and this woman. None of her five ex-husbands are present. And her current person that she's fornicating with is nowhere around. None of the women who so intensely hated her are there. None of the people who have known her lifestyle are there to be found. It is just her and the Lord Jesus. Friends, ultimately, it always comes down to this. You and him. Not you and someone else and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the in the final analysis, it isn't going to matter what you did in life, what things you achieved in life. In the final analysis, it doesn't matter who you impressed or who you offended, what things went wrong in your life. In the final analysis, you and the Lord, it isn't going to matter what you did or didn't do. What will finally be of importance is what you did with Christ. The ultimate question in our life today is, what think ye of Christ? In the end, all that will matter is what you did with the Son of God. When you heard about him, when you heard his gospel being preached, when you had the opportunities, as you look back over the days of your life, how many times have you been brought, as it were, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of his word? And so these questions must be answered. This woman was facing the Lord Jesus Christ. You have faced the hearing of the word. I have as well. Hearing the word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the many opportunities, even as believers, we have opportunity after opportunity to prove his faithfulness, to recognize that I can trust in him, even in this situation and even in that situation. I don't have power to do things. I can't change anything about this situation. But what I can do, I can be like Hannah. I can pray. I can pray. Even if I misunderstood, I can pray. Even if I offer up to the Lord the very thing that he would bless me with, as Hannah did. You remember that woman? You remember how she said that her son to be born, she would offer him up to be a servant of the Lord, and she had no promise from God that the Lord would bless her with other children. And so she was willing to do that. And people might have thought she was crazy. And you might be in that situation, but she used the opportunity. She couldn't change her womb. She couldn't change if she would conceive, but she could pray and give thanks to God. So even in the worst of cases, in the worst of things, don't lose heart, Christian. Pray. Praise God. Well, let's go back to this theme that is before us. Here also you have this conversation that takes place. The conversation in verses 9 onwards between the Lord and this woman. During the time the Lord Jesus Christ conversed with this woman, and they talked about several things, the Lord Jesus Christ is seen here patiently leading this woman to the place of salvation, leading her to see that she must think more than the things before her. She must think more than the well. She must think more than the water. So let's listen to the conversation. They talk of wells in verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So when the Lord Jesus Christ asked her for a drink, because he had no means by which to draw water, you have that in verse 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. So she could see, he has nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? So she's responded with amazement that a Jew would ask for a drink from a woman, much less a Samaritan. So you see, it was considered inappropriate for a rabbi to speak to a woman in public. Jesus then offers this woman to drink of living waters. Living waters. This woman can't understand the conversation here. She confuses physical with the spiritual. She thinks that the Lord Jesus is talking about normal water that you drink, and yet the Lord was talking about spiritual water that saves the soul. He's talking about himself, the way of salvation. Maybe you are at times confused. You hear the preaching of the word of God, and it makes no sense to you. And that in itself is a sign, it is a, in itself is a mark that your heart needs to be changed. You must receive a spiritual heart. And so if you don't understand, and children, if you don't understand, again, use up the opportunity. It's a positive thing, not a negative thing. Don't be discouraged. Ask the Lord, Lord, I don't understand any of these things. I don't have a clue about any of these things. That means I need a new heart. Lord, I can't give myself a new heart. Give me a new heart. You see, it's all telling us that that salvation is not a transaction that can be explained in human terms. It's a spiritual transaction. So she doesn't understand it, and so she becomes a bit sarcastic. But the Lord Jesus Christ is leading her along to see what he's saying. While other rabbis would never have spoken to this woman at this well, the Lord Jesus was not afraid of social stigmas, nor did he care for the common man-made religious practices. The Lord Jesus was willing to reach out to her in an effort to win her despite the personal cost to him. You see the things, we often when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the personal cost, you think of his cross, you think of his death. But you think through his life, he was humbling himself and he was laying down even the point of his own name. His own name, people would have thought, this man, how can he be a rabbi? How can he be a faithful Jew and talk to a woman? And not only a woman, but to a Samaritan woman. But he was willing to reach out. What lessons this teaches the Christian? We are to reach beyond all man-made barriers to bring the message of salvation to the lost. And they talk of water in verses 13 to 15. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman then says, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So he is telling this woman that she can drink from Jacob's well every day. And she still will become thirsty. She will still come back. She will still draw water again. This is going to be continuous. This is something that will happen and it will never finish. She will never be satisfied. However, he tells this woman that he can give her a drink. He can give her a drink. Not she getting herself a drink, but he is the one who should give her a drink that will forever satisfy her. One-time action. It will not be repeated because it is once for all. This water of life, when you drink of it, you're satisfied forever, eternally. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about salvation. The person will never become thirsty again. That also tells you the person who drinks of Jesus Christ and his salvation, you will never be lost. You'll never be lost because you will be satisfied forever. The Lord is saying to her this, you can drink all you will from Jacob's well. It was Jacob's well. This is you must come to Jesus' well. You must take of Jesus' water. If you go to Jacob's well, you will be thirsty. However, I can give you one drink of living water and you will be satisfied forever. Is that your desire too? Has God made you thirsty for this kind of a water? You see, this is the nature of salvation. One can drink of the pleasures of this world. When you're thirsty, how a cold glass of water, how refreshing it is. But you become thirsty again. And the same it is with the things of this world. Like this poor woman. And they will still have to try to find more ways to satisfy themselves. You have to find more ways to satisfy yourself, more ways, and you think, well, one more. You have it in all of these TV shows. One more. You have it with all the relationships. One more. You have it with the clothes that we wear. One more. It's not enough what I have. You have with the tools and equipment that we have in our homes. One more thing. See, this one doesn't satisfy. You have it with technology. You have it with man-made movements too. You have false kinds of Christianity that keep talking about the new movement of this, a new movement of that. And Holy Spirit is doing this thing here. And this is what you see. And it's always waiting for the next one. And the next one. It never satisfies. However, one trip to the fountain of living waters that Jesus Christ gives will forever satisfy the thirsty soul. Because you see, it deals with the matter of our heart. It deals with the matter of sin. Sin is forgiven. Sin is cleansed. A new heart is given. And that's what you and I need. She's still confused about the physical and the spiritual. She's still a little sarcastic in these words. But then look at verses 16 and through to 19. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So here the Lord Jesus Christ talks to her about her wickedness. So in an effort to awaken her to her spiritual needs, the Lord Jesus plainly touches what must have been the sorest point in this woman's life. And so he pointed out her sinfulness and specifically what sin it was. And I can almost imagine the guilt this woman has, the guilt this woman lived with day by day. Sin, you see, is a heavy thing. You might think it is freeing thing, but you look at people who are living in sin, they are the most burdened people. They are not a happy people. And I would imagine that her heart was in constant turmoil because of her sin. The way of transgressors is hard, the scripture says. And some people would say this was cruel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the way you do evangelism. You don't point out people's sin to them. You make them happy. Why didn't he make her happy? To say God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Why didn't he do that? He pointed her sin. You see, friends, nobody will ever repent and come to salvation through Jesus Christ until they are first awakened to their own personal need, for them to realize that they are sinners and that sin must be dealt with. And if you are unconverted, that is the case with you. Until you know that you are lost and the reason you're lost is because of your sin and see the vileness of it, you'll never want to be found. You never wanted to be cleansed. And so conviction is of vital importance. Without it, no one has ever been saved of conviction. Now, of course, the Lord deals with us in all kinds of ways. But I'm just going from this passage here. We shouldn't try to just fit ourselves in. That's why we have all kinds of pictures of the way the Lord saved different individuals. But the point is this. They all came to him. They all received him. Here is this woman, and the situation that happened here, the way she was saved, it was quite immediate. It was so quickly it happened. On the very same day it happened. There was not long process of seeking. There's not long process of wrestling with all kinds of issues. No. The Lord Jesus met her, challenged her, confronted her, and she trusted in him. And the Lord will do whatever he needs to do to bring us to repentance and a trust in him. This is how he evangelized here. which may seem very offensive. It may seem very personal to individuals. But his tactic here is to get her attention. And so she now says, you're a prophet. And then they go on talking about worship. You see, then she begins to distract, and he brings the conversation keep back to himself. And this is what we see. Maybe you are at the moment finding in yourself various ways of distracting your mind, but don't. The Lord here instructs and says, the matter of worship, you don't know what you're worshiping. You know not what you worship. You don't know the Lord. And you're talking to me about this. And then she goes on and says, well, I know that when the Messiah comes, then he will show us all things. And then she says to this woman, woman, the one whom you are speaking to is the Messiah. In verse 26, I that speak unto thee am he. Friends, there are billions of people who have an external form of worship. Their worship is only outward. Lots of noise, or not much noise. Lots of being casual and jumping up and down, or very formal and dressed well. It can be so outward. But my friends, the Lord is saying, you must know me. You must know me. That's the point for salvation. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we don't have time to talk about this. Our time has already gone. But it's saying that our worship is a spiritual one. And it is a spirit-wrought one. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. It is a worship that must be based upon truth. And the truth that is found in the Word of God. Not in our own devices, not in our own imagination. But then look at her conversion very quickly. Verses 27 onwards, you have the conversion of this sinful woman. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? You see in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Meaning, it is the Christ. That's what she's saying. It is the Christ. I found Christ. Come and see him. That's what she's saying. And friends, you see this immediate work of the Lord in her heart. She responded in faith, and her salvation was so sudden. There was no waiting, there was no seeking process, as I said, there's no praying through a matter, no holding on, no 12 steps program. She simply trusted, and then she was saved, and then she wanted to go and tell others about it. Come and see Christ. Isn't this the Christ? Come and see him. And this again, as I said, it shows that the Lord works with different people differently. For some, it takes longer and is like a process. And at times, we have a greater sense of our sinfulness. And for others, it is a less sense of their sinfulness. For some, it is a matter of trusting as a little child. And there's not much speaking about sin or thoughts about sin, but I have not, the one biggest sin is I have not trusted the Lord. And then for others, it is the Lord brings to our minds and convicts us of all other things. But the point is that coming to the Savior, that's what happened. And this, their conversion was incredible. She ran right off in her excitement. She forgot about why she had come to the well. She leaves her water pot and she goes. She forgot the plans and the pull of the old life when she met the Lord Jesus. She came to the well for physical water and discovered spiritual water. She met Jesus and she was saved, forever changed. And this is how salvation works. When the sinner comes to Christ, there is an immediate work. God begins to work in that person's life. And it goes far deeper than just getting our souls saved. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a transformation of a life. There's a new life. There is an eternal life. So, and it is so complete, is that change, that we are called new creatures, new creation in the Word of God. And so remember these things, friends. As you think about things today, if you're a Christian, praise God for what the Lord has done. But if you're not a Christian, you say today is another opportunity that God has given. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is still there for sinners. Today is not a day of judgment. It's a day of grace. It's a day of salvation. And this thing was very much impelling. She goes and she's compelled to tell others. That's a wonderful sign of a person is converted. They want to share this message with others. Do you want to share with others the way of salvation? Do you want others to know the same Savior? Salvation, you see, will give you a message to share and a heart to share. When you've been delivered from death and hell, you want others also to find a way out of sin as well. And she goes to these men. Why does she go to these men? Because she couldn't go to the woman. They all knew her. Maybe there was an issue there. But she goes to these men and they come. And then the testimony is this. Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to them about those who sow and those who reap. And here he has sown and he reaps. And he says, look at this woman. She's converted and she goes and tells others about me. And look at what happens. These people come. They also trust in him. Friends, in conclusion, what was it that took this woman from being a hardened sinner who was dead to spiritual things and couldn't understand, to transform her into a powerful witness for the Lord? It can be summed up in one word, which is the name of Jesus. Jesus, who shall save his people from their sins. He is the Savior of the world. He makes the difference in any life that he touches. And our prayer should be, Lord, I am like this woman. Lord, I'm like that leper. Touch me. Touch me, O God, and save me. We praise God that the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he died once, but he has risen again. He receives our prayers. He hears us when we cry unto him. And praise God, he still gives that living waters flow from heaven to us. And then as we are washed, by the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. Do you know what happens to you and me? Then we want others to know the Savior too. We want others to experience this as well. Well, may the Lord help us now. And may the Lord help us not to have prejudice. May the Lord give us a heart that would have compassion on the lost as well. And may the Lord help us to realize that in the worst of cases, it could be that the Lord Jesus Christ has been waiting, sitting on that well where we have gone to draw our water. Well, may the Lord then bless now.